Welcome to Couch Chats with Corey and Courtney, a podcast about getting local Kansas City artists on the couch to chat. Hello, 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 and welcome to Couch Chats with Corey and Courtney.
Hello.
I'm Corey.
I'm Courtney.
And today on the show we have one of our really good friends, Erin Albano. Welcome to the show, Erin.
Hi.
Hi. Well, hi, Erin. I am so excited to have you
here today. Thanks. I'm happy to be here.
So a little bit of background. Erin is in town right now because he is on the tour of Hamilton.
Mm-hmm.
And we will get to that in a second. So, first question, how the hell did you get to the couch
today? How did I get here? Well, Corey.
That's me.
Corey and I go way back to about, like, what did we decide? Like, 12 years ago? 13 years ago?
Yes, we did.
When we met, as gays do. And,
I believe we were singing I'll Cover You or Suddenly
Singing. Oh, yeah, something like that.
Maybe in a bar.
Mm-hmm. Just gay.
Just super sober.
Yeah. And, I think it was last year when I was on tour in a temporary track. I wasn't permanent on the tour yet. Mm-hmm. I think Corey reached out and was like, hey, you're going to be in Kansas City? And I was like, oh, no, I don't think so because I'm only going to be here for, like, 5 months. And then fast forward, like, a few months to where... I was hired permanently for the show. That's when I reached out to Corey and said, hey, guess what? I'm going to be in Kansas City.
Actually, I will see your face.
I will be in Kansas City. And then you invited me to do this. And
yes.
It was great. And
yeah,
I was like, I'm happy to.
So let's just jump right in and talk about Hamilton. So you said that before you were like a non... like committed person to the show, is that right?
Or on contract permanently.
Yeah.
What happened last year was so my friend Brant Martinez, who I ended up replacing, is actually doing at the time last year was doing the out of town tryout for Moulin Rouge. Which is now playing on Broadway.
Oh my gosh.
Before he had started the tour, he had negotiated a leave. Oh, this is going to get really insider-y.
No, do it. Give me all of your insider.
He negotiated a leave of absence for the out of town of Moulin Rouge because he had done like the lab beforehand. He'd done all of the process before.
Sure.
They had said yes, and so he was going to be gone for 5 months. When he was about to leave, they were auditioning to find his replacement for those 5 months. I auditioned. I luckily got the job. They hired me.
Did you think you were going to get the job?
Like, honestly?
Like side by side?
Okay, here's where it's going to get real.
Yeah.
In Kansas City Mo.
KCMO.
So, this was right after Cats, where I did the entire run of Cats on Broadway with Andy Blankenbuehler, who is our choreographer for Hamilton and Cats. Soon after we closed, I started going in for Hamilton. And to be honest, because my track in the show is Man 2, quote unquote. Man 2.
But you get to do your song, though, right?
That's what I'm saying. Like,
yeah.
The Man 2 specialty is Samuel Seabury. Which sings Farmer Refuted.
Yes.
My friend, when I went to see the original company, it was my friend Thane Jesperson, who we did Newsies together. And every production since then has been... frankly, like a white guy. And it made sense to me because I was like, oh, this is the voice of the king.
Yeah.
La, 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 la. He's like, when the show is very racially, like,
sure.
Not charged, that's not the right word, but like.
Conscious?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Choices like that matter.
Right.
Or at least to me. I thought that it did because, since this is a radio,
yeah.
I am Filipino American.
Yes.
So that's brown. And so I just assumed when I was going in for it, because I knew that my skill set would be best for Man 2. Mm-hmm. However, I was like, this is the gig, I get it. This story-wise, it makes sense for this track to always be white.
Sure.
La 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 la.
I never thought about that track not being a white person for the exact reasons you just said.
Yeah, and again, it makes sense, and without getting too deep into like the implicit biases and all that jargon. Like,
we'll talk about that too.
Yeah, it's like, it made sense to me that I was like, okay, if I ever want to do this show, I'll probably swing it.
Right.
Which I've done before, and I was like, alright, well, if like I can wrap my head around that, I can swing the show, fine. Mm-hmm. I went into the auditions with that in mind, just doing my best, doing everything that they asked me to do.
Sure.
I get the call to go on tour for Man 2.
Right.
Because what was interesting, because they also, hey, sorry, my dog's
in the... By the way, we have our first dog on the podcast today. Right. His name is Bandit. And he has got something on the
couch. He is sniffing.
Yeah.
He is sniffing. There's so much upholstery in
there. There is. So if you hear little sniffers, that's our Bandit.
That's Bandit searching. And shakes. Anyway, so then I get the call to go to do Man 2. And I was like, oh, great.
Right.
Yeah. Fantastic.
That's what I wanted.
It was exactly what I wanted and thought that I'd never get.
Yeah.
So that was the long way around of saying... I replaced Brant because he was doing Moulin Rouge, mm-hmm. and then when that show got picked up for New York, mm-hmm. It was an easy transition, where they just called, because I knew the exact track, because I had just done it for five months, so they just called again and were like, hey, do you want it for real?
And what a fun tour to, like, get pitched
it's fantastic.
Yeah.
Because everyone wants you, you know?
It's... Great. It's in the business, we call them government jobs because they're not going anywhere.
Right. They're not going anywhere.
The last government job I had was Wicked 14 years ago.
Yeah.
And so...
Did you tour with that or were you just on Broadway?
The first year of the tour, I did.
I don't know if I knew that you were on the Wicked tour, mm-hmm. so that's fun.
2005.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
Wow. Yeah. So... 2005? So did I meet you...
After.
Right after. Mm-hmm. That's funny because you were in Spelling Bee when I met you.
Yeah.
So that... Mm-hmm. I totally missed the Wicked side. That's so funny. Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, that's really cool. So what is that like to be kind of, for lack of a silly term, you know, part of a cultural phenomenon that sort of travels around the United States and the world?
It's pretty cool. I mean, it's... Again, it's very... It's awesome that... You can, like, the buzz around us is very palpable, mm-hmm. Which is cool. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, for lack of a better word.
Do you ever get tired of that? I mean, are you ever just like, yes, it's Hamilton?
I mean, it's very tempting to.
Yeah.
And back when I did Wicked, we definitely had that.
Sure.
Because, not that they're the same, but, like,
right.
phenomenally, they're the same.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It was the cultural phenomenon of 2003-04.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly. So. And so... At a younger age, it's very easy to be like, ugh, yeah, whatever. Hamilton's sure. But, like, again, when you have more perspective, it's like, nah.
Yeah.
This is a cool thing we get to do.
Well,
and especially, this is, like, especially without getting too deep, we just had Pride Weekend.
We did.
Yeah.
It's a very culturally explosive time.
Absolutely.
And being able to bring this story... both in content and just visually, mm-hmm. like, it's really important to bring right now. And that's not lost on any of us.
Yeah. Well, I think that's, you know, I mean, like, Wicked is beautiful and amazing and everybody loves it, but its cultural significance is not the same.
Exactly.
You know? And so it's an interesting thing to have this show be in such a huge, you know, what it is and mm-hmm. what it's saying and what you look like and, you know, visually
And a lot of our show... I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. Just in what we all know is happening.
Oh, sure. And especially
in the
like,
world.
A lot of 2019, we're doing a lot of the South and then a lot of the Midwest.
Yeah.
Which is, because the year, last year...
You
we
went
a lot
literally
of,
around us.
Yeah. Like. We went to... At least when I was there, it was like the West Coast to like... We, like, pit-stopped in Des Moines,
sure.
and then we did a lot of the East.
Mm-hmm. What's your average stay in a city?
About 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Just because you can sell out that many shows right now, right?
I mean, I think... I don't know. This is where I have zero facts. I just have all speculation.
Yeah.
It's like...
Speculate, baby.
I mean, because I feel like this is... All of these cities, the three-weekers, are, like, the trial run before we come back.
Sure.
Uh-huh.
Like, we can... I mean, because sometimes it's 5 weeks, sometimes it's 4 weeks, whatever. But they're short runs, mm-hmm. and they're short runs within a season that's already kind of existing that we're just mm-hmm. plopping in.
Yeah.
I think...
But kind of an important part of the
season. Of course.
I mean, as I think we were talking about before you got on there, it is that we run the possibility that there are, you know, theater groups like that who almost plan their seasons around.
Absolutely.
That Hamilton
is not all of them.
And I love that we're going to get to essentially, because we get to see Hamilton on July 3rd. They don't have a show on July 4th.
Correct.
But I think it's going to be really kind of cool to be in cliche that room when they're sort of talking about the birth of the nation on July 3rd.
Oh, fair. Real.
So there's going to be a moment where I'm just like, we're here. Like, yeah. We're at that part, you know, literally of the here, story. Yeah. Yeah. So mm-hmm. I'm super, I'm excited. We have 21 people coming to okay. the show tomorrow.
We do, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
It's true.
I won't ask you to take all 21 of us on stage, I promise. but it's, I'm really kind of excited. The group seems to be about sort of split on who has seen the show before okay. and who has not. So I'm okay. kind of excited.
I think the other tour went to what, St. Louis?
St. Louis, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, that's a hop, skip, and a jump.
Yeah. It is.
Yeah. Yeah, we drove to Chicago almost 3 years ago.
3 years ago for my 1 year anniversary and saw it.
Oh, wow.
And strangely,
how long is the drive to Chicago?
It's long, eight hours. Yeah.
I mean, that's not horrible. But yeah, that's less than I expected it to be, but that's still a drive.
Yeah, it was.
Okay. I got the tickets because my lawyer had those tickets and he had to go to trial for me. And okay. so he was like, well, listen, I need you to take these tickets off of my hands.
Who was your cast? Do you remember?
Wayne Brady was our burr. He was so good. I'm going to tell you that. Ladies and gentlemen, like, I hate to say that, but like,
it was pretty incredible.
He was so good.
That's like the double-edged sword of like stardom. Like, they're famous, but then when they get into like the theater world, you're like, bro, are they really that good?
Right.
Just like assholes, like all of us.
Well, I got to see Anna Gasteyer in Wicked in Chicago mm-hmm. too, and I thought she held up.
She's fantastic.
Yeah, so they, I'm sort of in Chicago.
Because so many of these people, we forget that they started in theater.
Yes.
Or, like, their passion is theater.
Yes,
like,
absolutely.
My favorite are when people are like, oh my god, Hugh Jackman was so good. I'm like, you know he started doing this, right?
Yeah.
You know, like, there's a DVD of Oklahoma when he was, like, a teenager.
I watched that on PBS from time to time.
Sure,
you know.
I was like, he knows how to do this first, guys.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, everyone was talking about that during Greatest Showman or whatever, and I was like, mm-hmm. you mean this is what he did?
Does.
Like, this is Tamed Down.
This is
him. You saw him in Boy from Oz.
I was like, Wolverine, this is his bread and butter.
Yeah.
Like, calm down.
Right.
And I hear he's kind of touring right now, I think, doing shows.
He's touring right before he does Music Man, I think.
Oh, okay, fun.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I need to go see his Music Man. That him and Sutton Foster, right?
Yeah. It's next year? Or do you, I forget. It's one of them.
Yeah.
There are a few shows that I feel that my father, who's listening, what's up, Dad, needs to see in New York on Broadway. Yeah.
Okay.
And Music Man is kind of our show together.
It's like, it's one of
it's maybe the perfect awesome. Musical.
It's one of them. Yeah. It's at least one of them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just so well done. Wait. Do you
wait?
Like, this just jumped in my head because I remember someone talking about it that even like the most prominent theater nerd like might have missed mm-hmm. how like Goodnight My Someone and 76 Trombones
are
the same song.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
But like different tempos, and that's how you know that they're meant for each other.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea until someone like put a meme about that up.
That's fair.
And isn't that like the sweetest thing you can think about?
Well, I was just like, there's old school storytelling right there.
Right. Well, yeah.
And then you've got a quartet who is literally singing about what's happening above them, you know, in the same a lot of tones. So,
oh, fair.
I love that musical. I've actually seen it on Saturday in Kansas City. So
that was my first ever professional show.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Were you ensemble or Tommy G List?
I was ensemble understudy Tommy G List.
Yeah.
And I was literally 15, so I had no idea what covering was yet. If I ever had to go on, I would have been screwed. Because I had no clue what my job was as an understudy.
Well, let's backtrack and brag about you for a second. So, what'd you say?
My favorite part of this thing.
No, I know.
That's said with a snide. That's not me.
And trust me, I know that you don't want to talk about all of your accolades. So give us your Broadway credits.
Okay.
Bombay Dreams.
So my Broadway debut was the super popular Bombay Dreams.
Mm-hmm.
You guys
saw that in 2001? Is that possible?
It was 2004.
Okay.
You might have seen it in London because it was a London transfer.
Maybe it was 2004. Maybe it was when I was up there seeing Wicked.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, cool. That was the same year.
Okay, yeah.
Same level of success. That's great.
Yeah.
After that, do you want all of them?
Okay. I want the... don't give me your resume that only people care about.
Okay.
Pop around.
All right. So after Bombay Dreams, I got the original touring company of Wicked,
mm-hmm.
Where we started in Toronto. That was 2005.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Gosh, this is gonna be awkward.
14 years to go.
I'm gonna have to go through. 2006 is right out after Wicked. I went through. I did the San Francisco Company of Spelling Bee, which that turned into the Boston Company of Spelling Bee, which then turned into the Broadway Company of Spelling Bee. Mm-hmm. In between the Boston and the Broadway Company of Spelling Bees, I did a brief stint in the revival of Chorus Line, which was about 2 months of it there.
In New York?
In New York.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was 2007.
Are you on the revival cast recording?
No.
That? Yeah.
No. Because they had opened already.
Yeah.
And then I came in for about 2 months in between opening and Tony's.
Sure.
So I was with the original cast, but could not be considered part of the original cast.
Word.
My dog is clearly bored from this conversation.
he hears his dad talk about his accolades all the time.
Apparently, yeah. Right.
Yeah. He's feigning over here. Right?
So then, 2008, right after Spelling Bee, I was fortunate enough to go into Mary Poppins on Broadway, which ended up being my longest run that I've been with the show, which was 3 years. Shortly after that, I went back into Wicked 6 years later, but in the Broadway company this time, for about 8 months in 2011. From there, I got while doing Wicked, I auditioned for the regional production of Newsies at Paper Mill Playhouse. Then I ended up leaving Wicked to go do that. And there was no promise of Broadway yet. I was just leaving Broadway for a regional show.
But that you are original Broadway casting.
Yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And then then Paper Mill got picked up to go for its Broadway run in 2012. Did that from 2012 to 2014. Right after that, I did an off-Broadway show called Here Lies Love, which is a rock, what did they used to call it? Like a immersive experience. I don't remember. Ooh. It was off Broadway. It was at the Public.
Immersive just hitting Kansas City. Right. We're starting to do immersive experiences.
Immersive everything. Yeah. All the rage. But it was written by David Byrne, and it was about the sort of the life and times of Imelda Marcos, which was the First Lady of the Philippines. A very controversial First Lady of the Philippines. Mm-hmm. I did that up until its closing, which was in the beginning of 2015, which then I jumped into the Broadway company of the revival of King and I, which was at Lincoln Center, with Kelly and Ken Watanabe. What happened after that?
You got Allegiance in there still?
Yes, Allegiance happened right after that, which was very cool, because I was with
George
Takei and my longtime, a longtime idol turned friend, Leia Salonga.
I cannot believe you are friends with her. Probably out of everyone, I'm just like, she's the one I'm most jay of. Everything. I have worshipped her I feel like my entire life.
She's good people. It's one of those things where I was a fangirl of her, and then I met her. And this was back during MySpace time.
Sure.
And I was I had all of all the videos from all the bootlegs from her concerts and stuff on my MySpace. The second I met her, I'd delete all
of it. You were like, I cannot fangirl.
I can't be this person if she ever finds this.
Yeah.
But it was cool because then in Allegiance, I understudied my friend Telly Leung.
Mm-hmm. Who I saw play Bach in Wicked in Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
See, just
one thing.
Webs.
That's what I'm saying, right.
And so but I would go on for him when he would be out, and he played opposite of Leia as brother and sister. And so it was very cool. The first day that I went on with Leia, I put up a very, hokey,
I love you,
cheesy, this is a thing.
Yeah.
Which was very cool, and she liked it and read it and was very honored and whatever. And then recently I put up, here's a question. Do you guys follow a YouTube account called Aurora Spider Woman?
No, but I bet you I will.
Both
right
of you
afterwards.
Should, because disclaimer: bootlegging's bad.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But this account.
It is actually how the tour of Newsies told me that they got to see Hamilton is based upon a bootleg, by the way.
I mean, it's the thing that came through here. The boss man, Lynn, is like super anti, but like at the same time, like, and so I, so by like,
yeah,
by pure osmosis, I have to be also.
Sure.
But like, all of us kind of got into this because of them too. So yes. It's sort of that double-edged sort of like, we can't stand by them, but also have you seen it?
Like, right.
But Aurora Spider-Woman, like, randomly will put up like really, really old stuff of like when Fosse Verdon was going on, like she put up like
that's awesome.
Original like
wow.
footage from like the original Chicago or the original Cabaret or the, like all of this.
How do you get all this archival footage?
Literally, yeah. I'm like, because back in the like in the 70s, it had me like hike on your shoulder,
exactly.
Like camp, like camera,
right?
Like yeah, it's insane.
I used to
but,
go to the library in New York and watch you know, old videos.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, it, but so recently. They, wait, have you guys heard of the, how do I put, best put this, the legend of Asian Ellen?
No.
So, in Miss Saigon,
no.
This is, okay, this is, I again, I claim no fact here, but this is the accepted, like, Broadway legend,
okay.
The Asian American Broadway legend that's happening right now. As I hear, as I've heard it,
mm-hmm.
and as I continue to perpetuate it,
mm-hmm.
this
mm-hmm.
is the story I know. So
told by Aaron Gino.
Literally. Yeah. Just like I'm gonna get in so much trouble. Again, no fact. Disclaimer.
Don't worry. All tens of fives of people listen to this from time to time. So
word on the street is the Broadway company, this is the original show, not the
mm-hmm.
revival, but the original Broadway company was hiring and later in their run, was hiring replacements for Ellen. And of course and like historically Ellen is the one white woman
mm-hmm.
in the show.
Yes.
Because blah, 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 blah.
If you haven't seen it, go see it.
So they're having auditions. This woman, who either was already in the show or wasn't in the show yet, named Margaret Ann Gates, this Asian woman, comes into the audition, sings the crap out of Now That I've Seen Her, gives a killer audition, and the table goes like, oh that was... Margaret, thank you. That was great. But it... Wait. And like...
You watched
like
their,
you
wa-
like
their
like
brain open.
Yes.
Yes.
You literally... Like, again, legend. And so she ended up getting the show.
Mm-hmm.
Which changed the story completely
mm-hmm.
from being like... Essentially, Kim walking into the hotel room and seeing what used to be Chris's new white wife
mm-hmm.
right.
versus Kim walking into the hotel room and seeing Chris's essential replacement of
uh-huh.
her.
Yeah.
Sure.
It changes the show completely. It changes the character completely. It changes the moment completely.
That's the goosebump moment
mm-hmm.
too.
Aurora Spider-Woman put that up. Like a bootleg
yeah.
of that performance.
Wow.
Of that cast. Because she
yeah.
wasn't like a cover. She was
cast.
The role.
Yeah.
And for however long it was. And it was Leia and Margaret Ann Gates.
Mm-hmm.
And go on Aurora Spider-Woman right now
yeah, before
and watch
they take it down.
Right.
Because it's amazing.
So what is that like for you? I mean, I hate to talk about that sort of stuff, but to see things like that happen as, you
oh,
know,
it's amazing.
Yeah.
Because it's also, I mean...
Have you ever been typed out because of your skin color? It's the first pause I got.
It is kind of a first... Because it's an interesting... Yeah, it's the stop moment because here's why. This business is hard regardless.
Mm-hmm.
I have had a very fortunate career and a very blessed career in this business, and I am aware of that. Especially as an Asian American man,
mm-hmm.
like in this day, like without like I am a very. Whenever I speak of the business as myself, I have to be aware that I speak from a very privileged place in this business. So in terms of that, have I been typed out? I would assume so.
But you don't know it.
But I don't know it.
Yeah.
Because again, my career is built out of shows that are very racially inclusive or unfortunately that are very tokenized.
Sure.
And I have filled that quota
mm-hmm.
because I have filled that quota, I can't say I was typed out. Right. In fact, I was probably typed in because they needed that one.
Mm-hmm. So you sort of rebelled from the other side of that.
So which again, it's not like, while I've been very blessed to, not take advantage, but while I've been very blessed to have those opportunities, it's also myself perpetuating this system where that's okay.
Sure.
But and then you get into a show like Hamilton, though, where you literally also just now sort of landed a track that typically goes to a white person.
And so this gets into a lot of very heavy and deeper stuff like that's going in and out of this business. Mm-hmm. But
because Hamilton blew the roof off of, you know, that concept that everyone was sort of wanting. Yeah, I mean, I think that everyone, you know, we have been screaming about colorblind casting and all of that throughout the years, but really sort of giving those opportunities when Hamilton, and I think that Hamilton's a great, it's a lot of fun. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's great. Mm-hmm. I think that they could have told the story similarly without mixing it all up, but the fact that they did not is amazing.
Well, I mean, because there's also the aspect of, like the diversification of the show.
Yes.
Again.
Well, representing the America of today. Exactly. I know that's the tagline, and, but...
And, like, intentionally doing so.
Right.
Not even just like, oh, this character could be anybody. This character could be anybody. Mm-hmm. No. The king is the white guy.
Yeah.
Because...
Ironically, our king was Asian when we
went to
Chicago.
We got the Asian in Chicago. Mm-hmm.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm. And he was the swing that night. Yeah. Like, he stepped in, he was the understudy.
Wait a second.
It was incredible to
Wait
see...
Wait a second. He was Do you remember his name?
He was in Superstar 2 with John Legend on... I can't remember. He was Caiaphas. Okay, never mind.
Okay, because... Yeah. Because I heard that in Chicago, the guy playing our Hamilton now, mm-hmm. in our company, mm-hmm. also covered the king.
Yeah.
And he's also Asian.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay, anyway, sorry.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you saw Jin Ha. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but like, so there's... So yeah, it's very intentionally...
Very intentional.
Intentionally driven... I just lost my train of thought, because...
That Hamilton and that they diversify it and that it's representing, you know...
Yeah, yeah,
the America of today telling the birth of the nation.
Yeah, because real talk, the way some of our audiences are like, I just don't understand why George Washington wasn't white. Because...
Right.
Did you watch the show?
Right.
Did you...
I just would never think that.
But then the crazy thing is that then we have... I'm bringing my 8-year-old, who's obsessed with the show. That's when, you know... The majority of us have been weeping for the last few years with our current presidency. And
you tattooed it to yourself.
I did.
Lives,
I do.
Who dies?
Oh, wait! It is, for those of you who can't see, it's written on her forearm.
That's right. Yes. Yep.
Great.
I was explaining, and she was kind of going over something in school once about how, you know, why is everybody calling President Obama the first black president? What about George Washington? Because that's the only frame of reference she knows.
Oh, wow.
I'm like, well, yes.
Well, that is another conversation.
That is so interesting that you said that, because I've got a friend, Sarah and Craig, who were talking to their same kids about that, because that it was never disclosed that George Washington was white.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they, because we are just to assume.
Well, because we grew up the way we did.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That we, and then you think about how your daughter, Isabel, has never lived in a world where a black man has not been president.
Fair.
until she has no reference. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's you've got the, like, polarizing all of these people who are, let's call this, that, and whatever.
Mm-hmm. Hi, friend.
Hi, friend.
He's the sweetest face. He's going to be in the selfie.
Yay, perfect.
Yeah, he's going to be in the selfie there.
Uh-huh.
I love Bandit.
Yeah.
It's always kind of interesting to have those chats. We've had a lot of people on.
Sorry, I totally just, like, stopped the podcast.
No.
This is the point. This is why I love our podcast, is we've had other people be on the show for that exact reason. Mm-hmm. And we have a girl named Bree who wanted to come on the show and talk about, essentially, that, you know, she is tired of only playing the slaves and the maids, but that's the job. Like, you know, like, there are shows that are circling around that have those roles, so someone
has to play them. It's that double-edged sword of, like, you can... What jumps into my head is that Will and Grace episode... That approached it in a very comedic light, but, like, it's real. Like, when Jack this is the original series, mm-hmm.
not the reboot.
But like when Jack is, when he gets, I forget. It was one of the episodes with Eileen Brennan, and he's like, he's talking about making all the like the tough choices in his career, mm-hmm. and she's like, "You need a career first.
Yeah, mm-hmm. you need one,
which is the hard truth.
Yeah,
but like, and so that's what, and that's what's horrible about the current like environment of the business.
Sure,
is that yeah, right now. Well, right now, previous to shows like Hamilton and shows mm-hmm. that are intentionally creating better and more
right.
opportunity
right.
for people of color, that's what we had. And that's mm-hmm. and so you had to build a career on
right.
slaves and maids
yeah.
until you didn't.
And probably because that, you know, in some mm-hmm. way, you know, you at least were represented. You were there. And then mm-hmm. eventually, hopefully,
right.
someone was like, well, hey, we're tired of seeing you as maid two. Do you mm-hmm. think maybe you could jump in for
yeah.
lead one? And then, boom.
Yeah, I mean, and that's
what starts to happen.
I mean, that's the perpetual problem of typecasting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is like, when you're perfect for something, do you stay there or do you branch out?
Right.
What
do you have enough food on the, if you have enough money to put food on the table in
right.
between?
Mm-hmm.
Because,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
I always sort of, like, vet my friends on sort of questions that they may want, you know, whenever I have
yeah.
someone on the couch. And one of those questions is how do you, you as a performer who said that you've done, like, shows, you know, for years,
mm-hmm.
how do you stay fresh in that job of knowing that you've got to go for 4 years doing the exact same track and still, you know, not sort of get bored with it?
Sure. Honestly, the best answer
mm-hmm.
is the cheesiest answer.
Be cheesy.
But the best answer is gratitude.
Yeah.
Like, you understand that this is special and you understand this is a privilege.
Yeah.
If you don't, then it's very easy to slip into, I have to do this again.
Yeah.
If you don't, if you can maintain, I mean, and because it's a truth. Like, someday's going to be easier, someday's going to be harder. But if you continually understand that, hey, guess what? I'm getting paid a lot of money to play dress up,
mm-hmm.
and
there's a line of people down the road.
And to inspire, yeah, I mean, like I got a hard ass fucking truth. Oops, sorry. Like on Hamilton, actually, there was, because I've said that a lot, but also like, you know, when like you're caught in your own like,
sure.
you're caught in your own like. What is the word? Not bravado, but like,
yeah,
when you project more than you like are actually practicing.
Well, you're like, I'm fucking in Hamilton.
Well, I mean, but like it's one of those things, like, because I've said that forever, and I thought that I knew it, and I thought that I meant it, until there was this one time. I think it was either Costa Mesa or Vegas or something. Where, if any of your listeners were Newsy fans,
mm-hmm.
they'll know this, is that I use this dog a lot to excuse myself from doing stage
door.
It's
your kid.
Sure.
Yeah, but I could have done more stage door. Like, I'll be the first to admit that, like, while, yes, I needed to get home to him, I also didn't, like, stage door takes, what, like, 10 minutes?
Right.
Yeah.
Like, I used him as an excuse far more than I should have. And I know that now. I'm learning continually.
But,
so, that happened, like, I would use him at Newsies. I got a little bit better as time progressed, and I'm still getting better about stage drawing because my big jump and my big kick in the ass about getting better for stage drawing was, I think it was either in Costa Mesa or Vegas,
mm-hmm.
but somebody came to the stage door at Hamilton, which I had already started being better at because, hey,
you learned, yeah.
Like, somebody came to the stage door and I signed their thing. And they were like, hey, do you mind signing this also? It was like a playbill from Cats. And I was like, oh, sure. They're like, could you sign this from this also? From Newsies.
Mm-hmm.
Also, could you sign this from also? Like, I was like, oh, like from like Spelling Bee.
You followed
right.
me.
And I was just like, oh, I didn't sign this. He was like, they're like, no, you just didn't, like, we waited. You didn't come out.
Aww.
Not in like a, how dare you, but like
yeah,
a,
sure.
yeah, you just didn't come out. And it was like this little Filipino kid.
Mm-hmm.
I said, cool.
Yeah.
I said,
I'm going to come out now.
I said, wow. Okay, so, yeah. Basically, like, I looked up in the heavens and said, God, I hear you. Thanks.
Yeah.
because this was a kick in the ass.
I had that same conversation with our friend Kyle Hatley, who was on the show, you know, a couple of months ago, and I was, and he was talking about, like, after a show, he doesn't go out, he's like, and I'm like, listen, I was, think about me as a kid, one teen, and I talked about my sexuality and that there was sort of, like, this idea that, you could be maybe an overly femme guy, you know, and potentially get to do theater. And you don't have to be a girl or some stereotype. Like, I was just watching people who looked and acted like me getting a round of applause. And people in the audience were telling them how much they loved them and thank you. And I was like, yeah. And so I definitely think that sometimes that stage door, although mundane, is some of the most and important stuff we things should... that you could do.
I think who said it? Someone, I think... There was a story that Ruthie Henshaw was telling somebody else. Maybe it was, I think Ruthie Henshaw, I think maybe had this conversation with someone else. Cool. Great story.
And then you found $5.
So but like, I guess like she, the way she approaches stage drawing is she's like, this is the third act of your show.
Yeah.
Like, you gotta do it. Like, because it's too important not to. Granted, give yourself, like, in between shows, I don't do it because I do have to get back home to him.
Sure.
Let him out. But, like...
It's okay from time to time.
Yeah, but, like, especially in this day and age where we're much more visible. Like, sure. And especially for our show. Like, I playfully chide my cast that, like, they because it's also tough, because it's also... Anybody who's planning on stage drawing any show for the rest of your life, please understand that the ensemble is just as important as the leads.
They are.
Because
that's usually who I want to think.
Yeah.
They're the ones dancing around in the back supporting those leads.
Yeah. But, like, a lot of people, like, I remember, I think might have been the subliminal reason why I stopped doing it for a while was when I was at Wicked. Like, the way those Wicked fans used to pull their playbills back when it wasn't Elphaba or Glinda.
Gross.
It was not great. I mean, and that was, it was a different time, and I think a lot more audiences are more mindful and more sensitive, and know more now, but like,
but
frankly, sometimes that'll happen here, because our show is very lead-centric, and
Well, what's even funnier is we left Hamilton in Chicago, and they thought we were in the show.
Because we got an on-stage tour, and then
who's your production stage manager or whatever right now?
Right now it's, Anna Kaltenbach.
There's a dude. The dude that was with us is on your tour too, from Chicago. He's in there somewhere. I'll figure it out. Okay. It doesn't matter. Anyway, and we walked out, and it was raining, and people literally thought that we were in the show. They were like, "Can we get your autograph?" And we're like,
"You're like, sure,
yes."
You're like, "Yes, Joshua Henry."
No, I signed my name. Don't worry.
I took my friend.
Yeah,
because
it was
although
raining.
I do super. No, it's because that's mortifying to me.
Yeah. But isn't it interesting? What I was going to say is we sort of talked about it before we turned on the microphone, but like, you at the stage door is the reason sort of why we started this podcast. Is like, there are people who walk up to that stage door and like, they're excited to see you, you know, as ensemble, you know, like that you are something that's incredible, and yet you are still like this enigma because we got to watch you up on that stage.
Sure.
So then
I
just know that those theater dorks out there are just like, no, I want to know you because you get to do what I would kill to just be a part of.
Well, I mean, and what's even great, I mean...
And now we're getting to know someone who is literally in the tour of Hamilton that, I mean, and it's your day job, but it is huge for people.
Well, I mean, and what spoke to me about that one little, like, Filipino little boy who had all of my playbills that I, like, apparently, like, stood up at every single one of my shows. Like, I was like, oh, no, because this is even more important, because now he gets to see people that he looks up to and looks like, that he can now be inspired to, like, maybe do, like, maybe that's another one that's going to do this now, instead rather than if this was still another company full of white people that he just was looking at from far away, being like, oh, they get to do that. I don't get to do that.
Yep.
And that's when I was like, ah, cool. God led me.
Yeah.
Sure. And that's a huge responsibility, though.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, you know, that's a lot of pressure. I mean, though I agree that it can be incredibly important to have to take that moment and you know, and do your stage drawing and all of that, it's also, like, and you know, people have to realize how much actors put of themselves out there to be like, I'm also exhausted.
You also just did a 3-hour show.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And sometimes, you know, I mean, not necessarily, well, no, the
so
end of this show
you
is...
Because well, you're I just mean, like, actually, you should take a rest.
Well, I mean, you know, this show is difficult, but it's not necessarily, I mean, I remember, I think it was an article that I read about a woman who, like, berated Ben Platt after, for not coming out after Dear Evan Hansen, and I'm just like, you saw what he did, though, right? Like, he needs a breath for a minute. Like, coming out and being like, hey, hello, how are you? Mm-hmm. Is a lot, because...
Aaron's like, actually...
Well, no, see, because I... Cause
you all don't get to see his face.
On the other side, because I, like, because I remember that controversy, mm-hmm. and I get it. Mm-hmm. And I get it from both sides.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, yes, we just did a lot. We just did a lot.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, like... It's what are we doing this for?
Right. Yeah.
Not even it's our job, because it's not our job at the end of the
sure.
day. Like, stage drawing is not our job.
Right.
But, like, how are we paying it forward
sure.
outside of, like, what we're paid to do?
Did you ever wait at a stage door as a kid?
I don't think so, because I don't think they were that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Back when I was growing up.
Well, I mean, it wasn't an ensemble, but it was whenever I went and saw, Into the Woods with Vanessa Williams.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And everyone was just waiting to talk to her. And mm-hmm. literally the banker and the banker's wife walked
just
past. Teased. And nobody acknowledged them.
I feel like I was just talking to someone. I think that stage drawing is relatively new in the grand scheme of our business. But what, like, the fun thing that I always like to think about, like, whenever I talk to, like, people like our age, is, like, if social media was around... when we were teenagers.
Sure.
Who would we have been following?
Yikes.
Yeah.
Because
or
it wasn't.
What would I have put up on social media?
Right, exactly.
Sure.
Not
well, that would have been a mess. But like, but I was just like, I can guarantee I would have been following Leia.
Sure.
I would have been following like the entire original company of Rent.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
And that might have been it.
I might still be following
like,
the original production.
But I mean,
if
like...
If you get Adam Pascal to respond to me again, that would be amazing.
But I mean, like, the way... The blessing and curse of the inaccessibility of Broadway when we were growing up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, God. Imagine the fools we would have made of ourselves.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like...
Well, and I think that's my point, is that it's not necessarily, that I think it's a wonderful thing to pay it forward, and it's a wonderful thing, I think, oftentimes it probably does. I think probably that moment with that Filipino boy was meant as much to you as it did to him, so mm-hmm. I feel like, you know, there's a selfish aspect of
that's
it as
well.
That's
a great comparison, Courtney.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, of knowing that, like, you got read that moment, and that was mm-hmm. like, okay, here's my light bulb of, like, I need to do this more often.
Yeah.
It's the expectation that it's your job to come out that
sure.
is the problem.
Yeah.
It's the mindfulness from
exactly.
both sides.
That I'm just like, you don't owe me that, but thank you for being there kind of thing. And I think,
well,
that's
I think it's
the part
more special if you choose to go out there.
Exactly.
Sure.
Yeah.
And I will say, like, because there was one time, I forget, was it a year or two ago, where I was waiting for my friend out side the stage of Kinky Boots. We were just going to go get, like, a drink or, like, food or something after the
show.
Show
too.
And it was during, like, Todrick's time there.
Oh, sure. Mm-hmm.
And I was I was just waiting while he was getting his beat off.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a wrong word to say if you don't know the lingo.
But I'm completely
taking his makeup
face.
Off.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, hashtag bitch yell beat off.
Uh-huh. But, but then while I was waiting... I waited and watched Todrick do the stage door.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is why you're catapulting.
Sure.
Because it's not, I mean, because he's talented.
Yeah.
He's making great
but
music.
But he's in everyone's
But mind. I was just like, yeah, he took time. It was a big stage door.
Yeah.
And he, not only like, sign, thank you, mm-hmm. like, he literally, I watched him take time with everyone.
Yeah.
And I was like, and I turned to my friend afterward. I was like, he did it right.
Mm-hmm.
That is the right way to do a stage door.
Yeah.
And yeah, like that's why people love him the way they do.
Yeah.
Aside from how good he is.
Sure.
From this last music video that I cannot stop watching.
Is that the Head, Shoulders, Knees, and Toes? Like, what is it?
But I mean,
nails,
because
hips,
it's
whatever.
Heels.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I haven't seen it. I've just watched. I just watch choreography videos to all of his music.
That's fair,
yeah.
And my 8-year-old is pretty thoroughly obsessed with it, so I have to watch.
Well, I'm currently right now judging a drag race survivor, if you will.
Oh.
In Kansas City, and it's every Thursday where we eliminate a contestant each week, and that has been the last 2 weeks kind of my pump up song.
Where?
In the showers, just to be like, all right, girls,
ready.
Let's get it. Like, that's I gotta right. care about mm-hmm. every stupid mm-hmm. sachet.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Well, wait, I just realized I didn't finish. Is that rude? Is that ugly? Oh, so Allegiance, and then...
Oh, we didn't finish your resume.
My Broadway crest.
We'll post a copy of your resume.
Yeah.
I just realized, like, what were we talking about this with? Oh, I didn't finish. That's what... Yeah, that was a long time. Mm-hmm. After that was Cats, after that was this. Done.
yeah, I'm just, you know, it's... Cosmically, it's just so interesting that Hamilton the Tour brought us back together.
Right?
You know.
Crazy.
Like, I now have this friend Tigger puzzle that is
that I built
13 years old.
Yeah. And I was like, hey, guess what? I'm driving the tour with my dog. So right. I was like, hey, I can bring it from New York mm-hmm. over to you.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
And I thank you.
Uh-huh.
Yep. I think it maybe mom noticed when she came to the office.
I bet you it was maybe in a closet for a couple of years, just mm-hmm. waiting
that puzzle is the age of a teenager.
Sure. I know. Mm-hmm. Isn't that goofy?
That's crazy town.
I don't think... Well, I was looking at our old pictures, you know, because luckily we became friends just at the beginning of Facebook. So we've got...
Oh,
like,
yeah.
So we have, like, four that I'm just like, damn. Like, I was so young.
Just young.
Just young. How old are you now?
How dare you?
Well, edit this part
out. I'm 36.
You're 36.
Uh-huh.
Still the oldest person.
You are still the oldest person. If we don't count the dog and dog years,
that's right.
Right. Mm-hmm. No.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, he's technically the oldest.
Yeah. So now the actor studio questions portion
The
game. So what is your definition of real magic?
Real magic?
Mm-hmm.
Wait, like actual magic or like theater? Like whatever.
Whatever's magic to you.
I mean.
Mm-hmm. That's the beauty. And the beast.
Real magic.
What is your definition of real magic?
It would be like Wingardium Leviosa. I think, like it would be like,
yes,
being able to do things.
Yeah.
That's
amazing.
Yeah, I would
Harry
say.
Harry Potter game.
No.
Yeah, don't.
I don't know if I can.
I don't think you could.
I mean, I was super late to Pokemon Go, so
I'll probably
be super late to.
Yeah.
Because you'll be on the back side. It is time consuming and bitching at that time.
Well, and also, this is going to be sacrilege.
What you got?
I love Harry Potter, but I feel like as time has progressed, I've
grown out of Harry Potter.
A little bit.
Oh,
like,
no.
I mean, like, just like in the intense fervor that I used to love it.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Other cultural phenomena have taken that spot.
Sure.
Because... Okay. It's not, because it's not as,
right.
like, not relevant, that's not the right word, but prevalent. And
sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, and I mean, the Fantastic Beast movies, as good as they are.
They're okay.
They're the Hobbits.
I'm going to tell you a story. Yeah. I love Harry Potter. I have read those books an obscene amount of time.
Again, yeah, same.
I have it tattooed on my body.
I could win all
watched any of the Fantastic Beasts.
The second one was
care.
Quite confusing.
They're good. They're good. They're, again, it's... It's entry into a world that you miss,
mm-hmm.
which is great.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like Toy Story 4. They're unnecessary.
Okay.
But it's nice to see everyone.
Have you seen it?
I have.
I just saw it on Sunday.
What was your initial thought?
It is triggering, man.
It is.
It is triggering.
Oh,
AF.
Your Facebook did say that.
Because I loved it, but I'm still recovering.
Okay.
From the implications of that movie. Brings to life.
It is weird to watch it as a 33-year-old. Let me, you know, or whatever.
Yeah.
Wasn't it made for your age? Like, wasn't that?
Aren't they all?
I mean? Well, yeah. Yes, because
they're not,
like,
but they are.
Disney's brilliant and amazing.
Just the conversation that,
but...
that they have in it, and the more that you know, the more that
this
I
is
have
spoiler
it,
alert for sure.
Yeah, but the more that I'm not saying it, but the more that I have the conversation about the movie, it's just so interesting. And what my thoughts, I'm very malleable about this movie because it's just.
Because you're the same age as...
I mean, we're essentially
Andy,
you
right?
Know,
like, that kind of...
Oh, sure.
Like, I don't have the Toy Story thing because I'm just enough older that, like, the first one didn't come out until I was in high school. So, like, I... didn't really, like, okay. I've seen it, but I haven't, you sure. know, I don't have the attachment that I feel like
your age and a little bit younger,
like, right. has.
Sure, I know that.
But I also think, like, there's a point now, they've been stretched out for so much time that, like, I don't know that Toy Story 4 was made for kids to really appreciate. I think it was for the generation that had the Toy Story 1 at that perfect age. You know?
And definitely, I also think it's a precaution, not precautionary tale, but sort of an insight to let kids be mm-hmm. like, it is okay to let your toys go.
We're gonna leave it there
because we're gonna get into real big spoilers.
Yeah.
Okay,
if we
fair.
Continue to talk about that.
So what is your question?
Oh, let's
to
see.
Tangent.
Goodness gracious. All right. Well, the big question that we always ask. You are a new addition to the crayon box. What color are you and why?
Oh.
I know.
Is this one of, like, the 16, or is this one of, like, the 104?
Who knows? I mean, whatever you feel like, whatever box you want to be in.
Ooh, don't put yourself in a box!
Oh, no.
Okay.
I'm pretty...
We can come back to that.
It gets pretty dark. But I was like, as much as I'd love to say that I'm, like, this, like, bright, vibrant color, I'm... Again, I was like, this is gonna get dark. I'm pretty gray right now.
Mm-hmm.
For no real reason.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe like a
kind of gray.
Maybe like a light airy blue.
Okay.
Because to some it's a really pleasant, pretty color. Not necessarily as bright and vibrant as the other shades of blue.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think you're a very pretty color.
Thank you.
What is something that you were told you could never do or do well that you have accomplished or are in the process of accomplishing?
Dog training.
Okay.
Period.
Cool.
Right. Uh-huh.
Wow, that's a great answer uh-huh. for you right
yeah.
now. Literally as the dog sleeps.
This one's, I've been very blessed with a very smart dog also, but.
Dog training, great.
Like, my favorite is because I like, everybody said, Bandit's a beagle, in case anybody cares. When I first got him, I had no idea what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
So then I had to hire a trainer. And God bless that trainer, because mm-hmm. like anybody who wants, this could get in a really big tangent, but if you have a dog and you want to get a trainer, make sure you go with your dog to the trainer. Do not mm-hmm. just give them to someone to train, because you need the training as much as the dog needs the training.
Sure.
There's my PSA.
Yeah.
But my trainer was great, and was it like, Not just taught me, like, the tricks or the obedience, but, like, basically taught me, like, the philosophy of training.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of, like, people who train their dogs know this stuff. But, like, that then led to, like, he started with obedience, which was great. He then, like, got into show business, so then he learned a lot more party tricks,
mm-hmm.
which
mm-hmm.
then that was great. And he was able to pick those up pretty well. Now he's training as an odor dog to detect bed bugs,
mm-hmm.
which has been really interesting training.
Mm-hmm.
And just that kind of stuff that I didn't realize that I'd get this excited about it until we started doing it, and it's something that I can bond with my dog about. And like,
and in 20 years Aaron will have his own training facility.
But like, it's been so cool, and I didn't realize that that would be something that I'd be super duper into.
Yeah.
And where the story was gonna go, some of my friends, when they have problems with their dogs, they'll be like, hey, can you help me train my dog? And I'll help. And I didn't realize, because people have talked about how stubborn beagles are mm-hmm. and whatever. I didn't know any better, because he's yeah. my only adult
yeah.
dog.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because I've had other dogs, but they were when I was a kid, so therefore
right.
they're really my
Not
parents'
dog.
Dogs.
Right.
This is your dog.
This is my dog.
Yeah.
But my friend has an Australian Shepherd,
mm.
who are very pleasant and very, for lack of a better word, easy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and when I started helping her train, he took to a lot of things very easily. And I was like, that was...
Not fair.
That was really... Wow, Bandit, you were really more difficult than I realized.
It's
and
probably
so
easier
easy.
For your training, though. Now it's...
Well, I mean, but
not,
like, now I know... Yeah, I mean, the training's, like, what's... But it was that, like, perspective that I didn't realize with my stubborn-ass dog.
Mm-hmm.
That, like, oh... You were actually more difficult than I realized, because I didn't know, because apparently I learned how to train on, like...
The hardest
A
difficult
the hardest
way. Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. And he's great, and I love it.
He is great, and he's super sweet, asleep on our feeties right now.
Yep.
Last question from you, my darling, because amazingly, that has almost been an hour. If you're just tuning in, this is the podcast, but this
you've missed
is,
it all.
But we have Aaron Alwano on the show.
Let's see. All right, if you could rule the world for one day, what's something you would ban?
What would I ban?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not get too political here.
You can.
Wait, am I, like, exempt from my own rulings? Or
ooh,
do
maybe.
I...
Sure.
It seems to be the way the current president believes as well.
I mean, no, let's do that. Because my first go-to was, like, ban all sugar, but, like, no.
I would miss it. Mm-hmm. But if I didn't know it, then it wouldn't matter.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, have you guys seen that, like, there's, like, this internet video of this, like, kid who drinks soda for the first time?
Mm.
No.
Because he's never had sugar. Oh. And he's, like, 8. And his dad gives him, like, this, like, blue soda for the first time. You watch this child, like... discover crack.
Sure.
Like, it's...
He's it's like, can I get another cup?
Wild. It's so good.
Yeah.
Anyways.
I love that sugar was his first response.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's... I need to not eat it as much.
So he has to ban it. So he has... He
but
has
again,
to
I was like, control. But am I exempt? Because yeah. No. Because I have... Oh, gosh.
He just turned into like a little boy on our couch right now. That's amazing. It's amazing. It is amazing when you.
It's funny because I'm trying to like not go political and like draw and deep and dramatic, so but yet I'm finding harder things to ban when I go light and fluffy.
Well,
so let's just.
No one wants to get rid of.
So let's just say racism. Like,
that's fair. Yeah.
Sugar one, racism two.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, that shows.
And I'm not exempt from that. So great.
Yeah, that shows Aaron's needs right there.
That's
like,
horrible.
Listen,
that's the worst.
I really think sugar is worse than racism.
That's like the top of privilege. That's the worst.
Okay. I know, as a Filipino man or whatever, yeah, that's amazing. My last question is, what is the best thing that has happened to you this week? Even though it's only Tuesday. So, take in the last 7 days.
Okay, seeing Toy Story 4 was a big one, which was great. Well, because I had to wait, because my friend, who's also in the show with me, turned to me like 3 cities ago and was like, Aaron, I've never seen any of the Toy Stories. And I said, okay. And he's like, will you watch? I was like, duh. Let's watch them.
Let's do them all.
And so then we started one, I think in like Dallas,
mm-hmm.
which was like 4 cities ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then he lost momentum. And I was...
Well, Toy Story 2 was okay.
How dare you? Toy Story 2 is fantastic.
We had it written on our... We used to have an autograph wall or piano in our lobby, and that's what was written on it. Someone wrote in... one of our public wrote, Toy Story 2 was okay. And we
that
just...
That is controversial.
Yeah, we all were always just like, out of it, you didn't say the name, you didn't say anything.
Like,
you just said...
Carve
Toy
that
Story
out. I'm like...
We took a picture of it and smashed it. Yeah.
I mean, because then like... Yeah, because then we, like, lost... He lost momentum and, like, got tired of bugging him every week.
Mm-hmm.
So then I just left it. And then, I think 2 weeks ago, I was like, hey, it comes out in 2 weeks.
Right.
I'm not waiting for you.
Right.
And he said, oh, okay, let's start him. Let's start him. So then I think we watched... Maybe it was all last week where we watched 2, then 3, and then we watched 4 on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
So we might have watched all of those... Within 1 week.
Yeah. So the best thing that's happened is you got to watch Toy Story.
Maybe reliving Toy Story.
Yeah.
And
fair.
Just like bawling at Toy Story 3.
Bawling.
Because always.
Mm-hmm.
Because always bawling. And then literally having a mental breakdown. Like our walk home from the theater was just filled with like therapy.
Sure.
After Toy Story 4.
I felt like that when I left Coco. I feel you. Mess the world up.
Well, that movie is incredible.
It is incredible.
And we share a namesake.
It's true. Yeah, I was fucked up after that. I came home and was like, I must turn an entire room in my house into an offender room. Everyone ever has to be on these walls.
It changed your perspective of how you think of the afterlife.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, it was like, I mean, like,
You mean Disney and Pixar, like, change your lives? Yeah. No way! Yeah.
However, it's been, like they've...
You've worked for Disney, technically.
Yes, yeah. You have. They've been pretty hit or miss lately. Mm-hmm. So...
What do you think their miss is? I'll keep talking about this podcast for a second. What do you think their miss is?
The Good Dinosaur.
Yeah.
Thank you. I win the game. Thank you.
So when you say lately, you mean in the last 10 years.
Well, sure. Is it that old now?
I think Good Dinosaur.
Good Dinosaur is when I stopped buying them all on Blu-ray because I was like, I don't
want
to own this one.
I don't want that one.
And if I don't own this one, then
mine
I can't.
Mine was Planes. I stopped caring.
That wasn't Pixar. Oh, we're just talking about Disney and Pixar?
Yeah.
See, there's definitely been like a graph where like, somewhere along the road, like, Pixar was above Disney Animation, mm-hmm. and then somewhere along it, they flipped.
They flipped.
They switched places.
Was that Rapunzel? Or
I want to say it was maybe, like, Wreck-It Ralph time.
Hmm. Okay. But I really enjoy the Ralph Breaks the Internet. My kids
have been really fantastic.
It's so cute.
It's so good. Yeah. Especially the way those princesses... It's on Netflix. Go watch it.
Yes.
It's the way those princesses came out. And
yes.
I stayed for those credits just to see if they were all princesses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they were all the princesses. Mm-hmm.
That's so
amazing. I was
amazing.
Like, this is...
That's great.
This is deep cut right mm-hmm. here.
Yeah, it was mm-hmm. good.
But no, like... Here's where I am. Here's where we're really going to get into, like, your geeky listeners. Mm-hmm. I felt about Toy Story 4... No. I'm processing Toy Story 4...
Like Inside Out? No.
Similarly to the way I had to process episodes 4, 5, and 6 of the last season of Game of Thrones.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. All right. You are in a deep place.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry about your brain.
Wow.
It's
so
sweet, sweet friends.
Well, because both of them... Okay, turn it off if you can.
Mm-hmm. Turn it off? You haven't heard that show, have you?
No lie. Can I tell you? Here's my one favorite story.
Yeah.
One favorite story. I mean, no, I've not done that show for your listeners.
Yeah.
But I remember when it came out... All I wanted to do was, like, 3 or 4 years into their run, all I wanted to do was, like, take my headshot and a brochure of BYU Hawaii mm-hmm. and staple them together and send them to casting. Mm-hmm. No, anything. I really wanted to do it. I desperately wanted just to be like, hey, guess what? There is a whole, like,
Mormon
contingent of Hawaii
yeah.
of Mormons that you're not addressing. Mm-hmm. And I was like, could you imagine how funny it would be if it was, like,
that would be so funny.
It would be hilarious. Mm-hmm. Of course, this was a different time with a different, like, humor. Mm-hmm. But, and I felt like 3 or 4 years in, that would be, like, something they could ponder. Mm-hmm. I couldn't do it. Why? Because colleges don't make brochures anymore.
Oh.
Because everything's online.
That's true.
Sure.
I said,
that's what held him back from being racist.
Uh-huh, exactly.
No, it's just being funny.
Literally.
Yeah. We held the... tour auditions here in the space a few times here at the Arts Asylum.
Oh, cool.
I mean, we were one of their stops or whatever. But my least favorite story, but favorite story in that, is when the white girl showed up to sing because she had no idea what the show was about. She had just seen, like, this casting call, and we all were like, how did you get here today? How did the casting person... And then we were talking to Jeremy, who was the casting person here, and was like, no, I just wanted to see if she would show up. Like, and so I could look at her in that room after she sang Salt Lake City or whatever, and be like, so, do you see why this maybe shouldn't have worked? And, like, totally... school
there's
this
some
poor
shade.
Sweet and girl
actually
wait in front of everybody
well in front I mean in the room
it's not
know.
A soundproof room
no
how about that?
I mean,
it was those auditions were actually pretty rough for me. Was it the year before? So one of our good friends was on the tour and got the gig here, but that wasn't at our location. It was the year before, but like watching all of our friends come in and like listening to them in the room and then listening, and I'm just like, I don't want to hear the theme. This is terrible to listen to all day long. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. It was rough.
We need to get another one of those tour mm-hmm. auditions here.
Oh, that's cool.
Fun.
Mm-hmm.
We did the waitress ones here. Yeah, it's been fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was
half
hour. Can you believe that?
Wow.
It's so silly. Like, I always feel like I'm deep in one of these conversations and I'm like,
bye.
So yeah, well, thank you for being on the show.
Yes,
of course. Thanks for having me.
Is there any sort of like advice or wisdom or something that we didn't get to talk about that you'd sort of like to wrap up with us?
The advice that I like to always sort of give, like, aspiring, like, theater people and, like, theater, like, aspiring artists is don't let your pursuit of your craft get above pursuing being a good person. Like, I think there's so many there's often so many times where people, like, are so consumed with being the best in the room or the best actor or the best that they forget that...
To be a human?
That oftentimes that's a fraction of what makes a good artist and makes a good person to work with is like, hey, guess what? Be on time. Hey, guess what? Be kind to everybody. Hey, guess what? Don't think you're better than other people. Like, and these are lessons that are learned from... people that are other than your teachers. They're learned from your peers. They are learned from, like, people you see on the street. These are learned from people outside of your, like, art bubble. That if you're not paying attention and if you're not taking the time to learn those lessons, can leave you because you're busy trying to belt the high A.
Right.
Like, and so I like to remind people, because the way people will be looked over because they suck.
Right.
And not like because they suck, like they're bad.
Talented, right.
It's because they suck.
I don't want to work with you or you don't show up.
Yeah. Because they're monsters.
Yeah.
And it's like, just don't be a monster.
Don't be a Sheila in Chorus Line.
And it's easier to be not a monster.
Right.
And especially like if you turn and look around you and see who aren't monsters and see why you don't see, why you, like, perceive them as not monsters, and emulate, and look up to that.
Yeah.
That's how you, like, that's more than half the battle right there. And then on top of that, try to kick your face, try to sing the high A, try to cry on cue.
See if you can balance those things.
Yeah. But, like, if you're...
Be the fiercest, but also in the kindest.
Yeah.
Because it's Cinderella, have courage and be kind.
Yeah. And so that's always what I try to instill, because... I was a monster when I got out of college. I will be the first to admit. And luckily, that didn't follow me around. I've seen it follow others.
Mm-hmm.
And that sucks. Like, because you'll always hear, like, you never hear about, like... No, you do hear about them. Because they're the monstrously talented dick. In them.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
And guess what? That...
Well, eventually those go away, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Forgotten.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you've heard it here.
Yeah.
Show up and don't be a dick.
Yeah.
The words from the tour.
There you go.
Well, yeah. Well, you know, good luck on the rest of your contract.
Thanks.
And by the time that people hear this, we'll have already seen the show, but
yes.
I cannot wait to see you on stage tomorrow. Woo! It's at 1:30 tomorrow. It's like literally 24 hours.
I know.
So oh my God. I can't wait for all that merchandise. I'm such a loser. Well, yeah. Well, thank you, Aaron, for being on the show.
Thank
and,
you.
We will see you all next week.
Yep.
All right.
Good.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
And that was this week's episode of Couch Chats. Thanks so much for listening. Couch Chats is available locally on KOJH 104.7 and also on iTunes. Remember, that's Couch with a K. The thoughts and opinions expressed in this episode are solely those of Couch Chats, not the Arts Asylum, KOJH, or Mutual Musicians Foundation. Thanks again for listening, and please remember to rate, review, and subscribe, as well as follow us on Instagram. Tune in next week to see who we have on the couch.